The Create and Thrive Podcast, episode 24, Blogging Content and Design Essentials.
Yes, the websites are never done.
No.
You can never just be like, well, did that.
Yeah, it's all over, tick done. I'm Jess Van Den, and this is the Create and Thrive Podcast. A former school teacher, I turned my handmade hobby into a thriving business, and I also teach other creatives how to do the same. My goal is to help you learn how to turn your creative hobby into a thriving, profitable business. So let's get learning. Hey Thrivers, Jess here. Welcome to the show. Today I have an interview for you with the fabulous Ariane from Aolydia. She is a web designer extraordinaire and has built up an amazing web design company that works with a lot of creatives like you and me to build fantastic websites. So that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to cover the essentials that you need to have on your website and, the kind of good and bad, the things that you need to really focus on to get right, to ensure that you have a website that really invites people in and makes them want to check you out and hopefully shop with you. Ariane has some great tips in this episode, so don't miss it. Listen in. Make sure to head over to the blog, so createandthrive.com, and look for episode 24. I'll have the show notes there with all the links and things we talk about in this episode. And I am back home. Yes, back in my own little studio here in the countryside in Australia. Still suffering from a bit of jet lag. I woke up at 3:30 this morning and I haven't gotten back to sleep since. So trying to power through till the evening to try to get that old body clock back in action. And I'm going to be reopening my shop as well on Monday. It's the weekend as I'm recording this. And I just got home Friday, very early morning. So that's all very exciting. I'm looking forward to also starting setup shop with those of you who are joining me for this run of the course. Registration is still open as you're listening to this on the Thursday. It will be shutting in a couple of days' time. So if you want to join us for setup shop, don't hesitate. Head on over to the website. Look under the courses tab for setup shop. It's basically a 30-day course that will help you go from nothing to having a fully organized whiz-bang online shop set up and ready to go so you can get your business up and running online. Over 500 people have taken the course in the past, and I've been running it for a couple of years now, and I'm really, really looking forward to joining the new cohort of students and the alumni who still hang out in our private Facebook group to work through the course. And it's going to be really, really fun. So if you want to join us for that, get over to the website nice and quick. Make sure to register for the course. I won't be running it again this year. I won't be running it again until next year. So if you've been wanting to do setup shop, or you really, really want to get your online shop up and running or a bit overhauled, you know, you might already have one, but you're not really quite sure what to do to get it really running smoothly and getting it, to that level where it's really making progress, that's what Setup Shop is all about. So head over to Create and Thrive and look for Setup Shop. I hope you can join us for that. All right, without any further ado, let's dive into this episode with Ariane Fox of Aolydia. All right, guys, so today we have Ariane from Aolydia, I hope that's correct, joining us today. You may have seen her around the web. She writes for Oh My Handmade and runs a fantastic web design business. So we're going to chat a little bit about websites and blogging today. Welcome to the show, Ariane.
Hello, I'm glad to be here.
It's awesome to have you. Before we launch into all the juicy info, can you tell us a little bit more about you and what you do?
Yeah, so I've been calling myself captain and founder of Aolydia, which is my web and graphic design studio. It started out just me on my couch, slaving away all night with my own clients, and then I added a friend to the team, and then I went and had some babies, which was very detrimental to my work ethic. Luckily, somebody had stepped up who wanted to do design work with us at the time, and so I was like, oh, you know, I don't know if I want to make this any bigger. This seems kind of complicated, but I literally can't do anything. So let's give it a try. And it worked out really nicely. And after the second baby, we ended up adding a few more people to the team. And I found myself no longer designing or developing, but instead just kind of keeping everything running and making sure everything was working and doing the marketing stuff. And that is what I still do now.
So you are the captain of the ship at the moment.
Yep. I'm sailing the ship, and there are 18 of us. Wow. We started out just doing websites, but then we found that there are so many things you need for a website. And so, you know, you need photography, you need to write product descriptions and all that kind of stuff. So we ended up adding logo designers to the team, and we have a photographer and a copywriter and somebody who helps out with marketing stuff. So we try and make it so you can just sort of show up with not very much, and we can turn it into a whole situation there.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. Yeah. Like, how long did that take, that process of kind of building up that team?
You know, we went pretty slowly. I didn't have a big end goal in sight, but people would just come up and they'd say, okay, I'm all ready to go. And then we'd look at their photos and we'd go, oh no. And then I didn't have anybody to refer anybody to. Yeah. I wanted to be like, oh, go talk to so-and-so. I just didn't have anybody. And I was like, well, maybe we should get somebody. And so we built up, I think, you know, maybe, I think there were 2 or 3 years there where we were adding to the team fairly regularly. Yeah. And now we've been pretty settled with our group for a while now.
That's awesome. So basically, guys listening, she knows her stuff about websites, and she has a whole team of fantastic people. So today we're talking websites. So let's do that. Websites specifically for creative business owners, because that's what you specialize in, isn't it?
Yes.
So let's start off with this question, which I get asked a lot myself. What's the point of having your own website when, say, for example, you already have an Etsy shop, or you just sell at markets or wholesale and don't actually sell online?
That is a very good question. I would say you need to have something. It doesn't have to be super impressive, but I always think it's weird if somebody has no online presence at all.
Like, what about like a Facebook page? Is that good enough?
Well, no. I always say no because you have no control over that Facebook page. Facebook might decide that you cannot have a page at all tomorrow, and then if that's all you had, what are you going to do? So I'm thinking, if I go to the craft fair and I see something I really like, maybe I buy something, maybe I don't, but I might want to go check it out later. And if I search for you and you don't have a website, that's going to be very confusing indeed, and I'm not going to be able to share it with my friend or buy a gift for somebody or whatever. So something is good to have, especially something at your own domain name, which would be like mywebsite.com, because then you have more control over what's going on. And if, like, there's nothing wrong with having an Etsy shop, but you don't need to have a whole website around it, but I would say get that domain name and point it to your Etsy shop, because then you have more flexibility for what you want to do in the future.
That is a great idea. Just that one, I mean, what, $10? You can buy a domain and for
$10
just,
a year?
Yeah, and just stick it, you know, pointing towards your Etsy site. At least then when people look for you, they'll find you easily. And what you said about Facebook, I mean, I love Etsy. I'm an Etsy. They're a huge part of my business. But Etsy, like anything else, it belongs to them. It doesn't belong to me. So, you know, if I don't have my own space that I own, then it can be taken away. So I agree with you. I think it's really, really important people have, even if it's just like a page, you know, here's my email and here's where you can find out more about me and stuff like that. So
you want people to feel like you're open to being contacted.
I mean, how weird is it these days when you see a business and they still like just have a phone number? I'm not going to ring you just to find it. Like, I want to just be able to go at my own leisure and find out more about you on a website.
Right.
And then if I like you, I'll ring you. You know, it's kind of, you know, it's like we're back in the 80s or something. So it is for any kind
of business.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
If I want to go to a restaurant and I'm like, oh, I wonder what they've got on the menu. If I Google them and they don't have a web page with a menu, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
How am I supposed to figure out what's going on?
Exactly right. So it's just the way it is these days. So it's something you just have to do, I think, if you want to have a business. So when it comes to sites, what sort of content should we definitely have on our websites?
Well, talking specifically about creative businesses where maybe it's just you or a small team or, you know, a partnership with your husband or something, it's so important to have your story on there because you want to seem professional, but you don't want to seem faceless. You know, people who buy handmade or are interested in design type stuff, you know, they want to know who made it, why they made it, what their story is. They want to feel like they're a little bit involved. So I would say definitely you need to have an about page with your story, and it should have your photo on it because people just love that.
They do.
And big, beautiful photos is going to be my number two. Yes. So no matter what the rest of your website looks like, if you can make what you sell look appealing and beautiful and people would understand why they would want it, that's the most important thing you can do for yourself. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a bit of a hurdle.
Yes.
You know, you have to figure out how to do it. Luckily, it's getting easier. Mm. Like with iPhones are getting so much better. You don't have to know like all that stuff you would learn in a photography 101 class with all the settings and stuff. You don't have to.
No, no.
You can make pretty decent photos nowadays with pretty simple technology, which is nice. So
you really can. And I say that all the time to my students and readers, you know, photos. If you don't have good photos, you don't have anything. You know, you really need to have those really good photos of your products. That should come first, because that's all people have to go on, really, is those photos.
Yeah, when they can't hold it in their hand. Yeah. And, you know, you want photos that let them know, for like if you sell jewelry or clothing, how big is it? If you just see like a little teeny picture of a necklace, you're like, well, is that like a really, would that be a huge piece on my chest, or is it gonna be a tiny little, you know, you want to show some context, you kind of want to tell a story with your products again too, like styling the photos in a way that makes people imagine it in their home or wearing it, something like that.
Yep.
So definitely photos. Just learn a little bit more about what makes good photography, like maybe less the technical stuff, but you know, just learning about white space and framing and styling.
Definitely.
Or hire somebody to help you.
Definitely.
Or bribe a friend who's skilled at that, you know, something like that.
I was talking to one of my students the other day, and she said her brother-in-law is a professional photographer, and he works for meals because he's a bachelor.
There you go.
He comes and has meals with the family, so that's pretty awesome. You never know who might be out there.
The hungry photographer.
Yeah. So we want to tell our story. And we want to put our name on there. Nothing drives me more insane than going to a website, especially for a creative business, and nobody having their name, not even a first name. It's like, you know, I want to know who you are and be personable.
But would they do the we thing?
Yes. If it's not...
If you design beautiful jewelry, blah, blah.
Yeah. Don't pretend. Just be yourself. It's okay. We'll love you anyway. So, tell your story. Have your photos on there. Obviously, some sort of contact information, like an email or something like that, is kind of vital, I would think, as well.
And show what it is that you currently do and what you want to do. You know, don't show photos of stuff that you're not doing anymore. Wish you weren't doing. Tell the story that you want to keep happening.
Yep.
It's a useful thing to do.
Very true. It can be. I think it can be easy, you know, when we set up a website and, you know, it's kind of in the back burner and we get busy with all the other aspects of our business, and then it kind of languishes a little bit and gets a little bit out of date. So it's probably pretty important to sort of put it into your calendar to update that on a regular basis, would you say?
Yes. So websites are never done.
No.
You can never just be like, well, did that.
Yeah, it's all over. Tick, done. Very, very true.
Right. You have to keep looking at it. You have to keep working on it. Things will change about your business. Mm-hmm. Things will change about the direction you're headed in. And maybe, you know, you'll just have better pictures, new stuff to put up. It's important to keep an eye on it.
Yeah. And that's important for searchability as well, obviously, to keep it up to date and relevant for helping people to find you more easily. So when it comes to having things on your own website, is it a good thing, or, you know, is it better or worse to have our own e-commerce shop actually built into our website, or is it okay to just like link to our Etsy shop, and why or why not?
I think it is fine to do both, and it's going to depend on where you're at and what you're trying to do and all that good stuff. So a lot of people find they'll start out with Etsy and then they'll end up going to their own website. Mm-hmm. But one thing I would say is I've heard from a lot of people who got in a situation where they were relying on Etsy to send them traffic and customers. Mm-hmm. And then when they switched to their own site, they're just like, now how in the world do I get people to know about this?
Yes.
So it's just like relying too much on a company that is totally out of your control is a little bit dangerous to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's totally fine to have your own website with the link to the Etsy shop, which that's completely legit. But, you know, you want to spend some time trying to get people to go to that website on your own. Like when you market, you should market to your own website, not yes. directly link to the Etsy shop. So you just want to make sure that you can build your own presence. And then if you ever do feel like you've outgrown Etsy or it's not working for you anymore, mm-hmm. then you've got like this very nice solid base where you can just sort of continue on instead of feeling like you need to start from scratch because you've been sending yes. people to your website all along.
That is a really good point. So, you know, get that, you know, no matter what's going on elsewhere, get that website up and running, start sending traffic there and build up an audience, I guess, and a following who will come back to that website. And yeah then, like you say, if you want to switch over or even if you don't, like I have both. I have a e-commerce shop on my own site and that's what I market mostly. And then I have my Etsy shop. And it's funny, I have different audiences as well because Etsy's based in the US and I'm in Australia. And most of my, probably about 80% of my customers from Etsy, because they come from Etsy mostly, are mm-hmm. American. Whereas on my site, I have a much larger proportion of Australian customers because I'm driving that traffic as well, right? So, yeah, so it's really interesting. And also, I sell in Australian dollars on my website, whereas I sell in American dollars on Etsy.
Yeah, so, that can be handy.
Yeah, it works really well because my American customers seem to be more comfortable buying in US dollars and my Australian customers don't really care, but they're happy to buy in Australian dollars, you know, which is great, especially when there's exchange rate issues and stuff like that. So, so it's, you know, you can make that work for you, I think, as well.
And there are tools now that make that easier. For instance, a lot of our clients use Stitch Labs to link together their Etsy inventory and maybe inventory on a Shopify site. And that way you don't have to be scrambling back and forth when you make a sale on one to update your inventory on the other one.
That's a really great
tool. So there are tools that can make it easier.
Yeah, I'll link to that in the show notes so people can check it out. Cool. So have both. Direct people to your own website, obviously. You want to own that real estate online. I think that's really important. It's like owning real estate in the real world, you know. It has value and you should hang on to it. So let's move on to blogging. Should makers and creative have a blog on their website? And what are the benefits of having a blog?
I'm excited to talk about blogging because I've got a little series on my blog right now about blogging.
Oh, cool.
So I just posted an article, I think, last week on this very topic. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. So I went to a conference recently and I was speaking about your website content strategy, meaning what kind of content you should have on your website, pictures, videos, text, what you need to put on there.
Yep.
And I showed some example sites from our portfolio and, you know, I had them up on the screen. I was like, there's this one, here's where they put these links, this is what they're doing here. And then during the Q&A time, somebody asked me, she's like, well, I notice all the sites you showed us are e-commerce sites, but they have a blog on them. Mm. And she asked if that is something that I recommended you do. And so we started talking a little bit about why you would want to blog if you had an e-commerce site. Mm-hmm. And then after the session, she came up to me and she was like, that was so interesting. I just thought people, like women, liked to blog because it was fun. I didn't realize that it like did anything for your business.
Wow, okay.
And I was astounded to hear that. So.
Isn't that funny? Because those of us who've been in the blogging scene for years, it's just a no-brainer. We understand why it's important. But I guess newbies don't. They just don't.
See, some understand. People, were, you know, they like taking pictures and having fun. Nope, there's a little bit more to it than that.
Yeah.
So I don't think that you have to have a blog. Mm-hmm. But a blog certainly can be a good idea, and there are reasons why. And it also kind of boils down to what you have time for and what you are interested in doing, because if you just absolutely hate blogging and don't feel like you're good at it, you're going to have a hard time making a successful blog.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of other things you can do, social media, podcast videos, other stuff. But okay, blogging can be very good. And so things to think about with blogging is that it's going to bring traffic to your site. So people will have heard of your site who didn't otherwise because you were blogging. Mm-hmm. And that is partly through the magic of Google and search engine optimization, also known as SEO. Mm-hmm. So you'll just be talking about You know, you're not going to blog about anything in the world. You're going to blog about things that have something to do with your business on some level or will be interesting to the people that you think would like to shop from you.
Yes.
And so just in the natural course of writing about this stuff, you're going to have a lot of keywords on your site that's the kind of thing people are searching for. Mm-hmm. And that will eventually, if you're doing your job well, eventually you'll get listed on Google for a bunch of this stuff and traffic will just sort of start coming to you and those pages stay up on your site and they continue to slowly send you traffic over the years, which is excellent.
Yes.
And aside from that, having a blog can really humanize your brand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can tell more of your story there and be more personable and people can feel like they really like you and they're excited about what you're doing. And you can use your blog specifically to, you know, entice people to do what you want to do. For instance, you want to sell whatever it is you make. You can feature what you make. You know, you don't want to be spammy or salesy or boring. But if you have a way to work it into your blog so it's fun and interesting, you know, you get people interested in what you do and you can convince them to buy. And, you know, you establish your authority. So instead of just being a ceramicist, you can be like the ceramicist. Yep. Probably knows what she's doing and everybody wants to learn from her and that kind of stuff. So you can definitely establish yourself as somebody who really knows what they're doing or has been in business for a long time.
That's really powerful.
And one thing I'm noticing about the blog that I hadn't really thought about, but it suddenly leapt to my mind as I started thinking about social media a bit more, mm-hmm. is once you start blogging, it makes everything else easier, like all your other marketing efforts. Mm-hmm. So if I want to post on Instagram, I can check out what I'm posting on the blog that week and take the photos that I already prepared,
yes.
size them for Instagram. I grab a blurb that I've already written and put it under the photo, which is so good.
Yes.
And then I've got stuff to send out to Twitter and tell Facebook about, and I'm just constantly producing stuff that I can borrow for all these other purposes.
And to send to your mailing list, very important.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with using blog content and sending it to your mailing list, people. It's actually a really good thing to do.
Right. So, yeah, it's nice. If you can get yourself on a schedule and, like, just find something that is working for you and you enjoy doing, it kind of makes everything else easier. And it has the benefit of bringing people to your site.
I love that. That's a really good way of looking at it. I actually talk about something like that and I call it the content cycle, where, you know, mm-hmm. you create one piece of content and then you cycle it through all your social media and you know, marketing channels, because once you've got it, why not use it everywhere that you can?
Right.
You
know? And you're not just repeating yourself.
No,
like,
no.
You could be finding like a different angle on it or pulling out just one part of an article that was interesting for a different reason. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of ways to kind of just keep going with it instead of feeling like you have to make something new all the time for everything.
And the thing, another thing to remember, I think, when you're talking about social media is, even if somebody follows you on every single social media, they're not going to see every post you do all the time. So, you know, because they're
exactly there. Anybody who's checking back in your stream for every social media account, they're obviously obsessed and they're going to love it, even if they've seen it three times, right? So everyone will be happy.
That's a very good point.
If they're that interested, you can't really turn them off, I don't think.
No, I think you're probably right there. So we've talked a bit about, you know, why blogging is important and the benefits of it. So can we talk a little bit more in detail of the sort of content that we could, that, you know, creators could be talking about? And, like, who are they writing to? I think this is really important, because I think a lot of people start blogging and they treat it kind of like a personal journal, which, you know, is okay, but I think when you're blogging for business, maybe you need to change your focus a little bit more.
Yes, you do. So somebody asked me about this very recently. She's like, I've heard two different things. I've heard that you should really have your personality on your blog, and then I've heard from other people that you should stick to just business and, like, list the trade shows you're going to and post your new products and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, no, don't do that. I was like, don't just be boring, because want people to come and read.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you don't want the entire blog to be about how cute your baby's dimples are. I mean, you can pop that in once or twice, but, you know, not every post. But you also don't want to be strictly business, super boring. What you want to do is you want to come up with some ideas that have to do with what you do. It doesn't have to be exactly what you do all the time, but it just needs to be related in the way that somebody who would be interested in your work would also be interested in what you're posting. And it really helps to have that target customer that you've probably heard people talk about in your mind. So when you're creating whatever it is you create and sell, you should know who you're selling to. And if you have no idea who would want to buy what it is you sell, it's time to step back and figure out who is actually interested, what type of person they are, what other things they're interested in. And then you'll have a really great way to know what you should be blogging about, because you can check out what other blogs they might be interested in. You'll be able to picture this person, and you can write your post as if you're writing to that one person instead of trying to write to the entire world and getting totally stuck because you don't know what they're interested in. So yeah, definitely figure out first what is unique about your business and what makes it special, and what is unique about the people who would want to shop from you and what makes them special. And then you kind of know who you are and who they are, and it makes it a lot easier to work on what you want to write about and what voice you'll use when you're writing about it, and if you can be jokey or if you need to be more serious and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. I think it's important to be genuine and friendly and open, and you know, use your own voice as much as you can, but you do need to keep whoever your target market is in mind as well at the same time.
Yeah, because you're not writing just for fun. You've got a point. You've got a purpose. You're trying to build your business in some way while still enjoying yourself and being genuine. So it's good to, you know, think about why you're posting what you're posting and what you're hoping people will think about it or do once they've read it. Mm-hmm. So it's good to have a little strategy in mind.
So when it comes to blogging, usually when we think about blogging, we think about like text, writing something. Can you maybe do like videos or podcasts or something instead of, or should you be doing that as well as, or how would that work for people?
That is a good question, which I don't think has a right answer or it doesn't have a single answer. It's going to be totally different for who you are and what your business is and what your customers do. For instance, maybe you have a customer base that is just not tech savvy and has no idea how to even use the podcast tool on their phone, like to listen to a podcast. So maybe that would be a bad choice if it's just going to confuse everybody and it's not the sort of thing that your customer would be interested in.
Yeah.
So thinking about who might be listening or watching is good. And then again, with like the same thing with the blogging and the social media, that seems like the sort of thing to me that you could just sort of tie all together into one lovely thing. So maybe you mostly want to do video, but you do it by having a blog that you post each video on.
Exactly, and then
people can read that. And, you know, I really like it when people transcribe a video because I often am not in a position to sit and watch a whole video, but I would like to skim through the text maybe. So it's lots of ways to think of like how you would present the content and make it easy for your visitor to read, watch, listen to. And then just think of ways that you could sort of cross-promote it in different places. Because if you're going to do videos, you could have them on a platform like YouTube where people might find you that way who otherwise wouldn't, which is cool.
Yes.
And podcasts, people might find you searching in the iTunes store and they would not have found your blog otherwise. So it's all definitely good ways to find new streams of people and keep things interesting. And, you know, video and the audio is such a great way of showing your personality and being a real person to the people who are listening too, because it's hard to, you can't just be a boring robotic business if you're actually going to be talking about stuff on a podcast.
No, that's true. You have to.
I guess you could, but it wouldn't be very fun.
No, you probably wouldn't build an audience.
Nope.
I think that's a really good point, you know, bringing everything together, kind of hitting as many different avenues of marketing as you can, really, but having your blog and your website as sort of your home base, where everything comes back to, and you know, that's where people can come to find out your full story. You know, all those little other elements are kind of snippets of your story, but then if people come back to your website and blog, that's where they can really go in depth and find out who you are and what you do. And I think we talked about SEO a little bit earlier. Is it still, you know, the internet really still works on words, doesn't it? Like, that's how we find things, as we search something into Google. We type something into the search bar on Google. So if we're...
I'm sure they're working on it, though.
Yeah, like...
they're going to find some way to search videos and audio very shortly, probably.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But for now, we just have our words. So even if you do, you know, put a podcast or a video together, you still need to put something in there so it's searchable. Yeah. So keywords, and maybe write a little blurb. Like you said, if you're doing a video or a podcast, you should put a blog post on your blog and actually write a little bit about what's in the video or podcast, at least, so that people can find it that way.
Yeah, and a description on YouTube or wherever you want to post the other type of content so people know if they want to bother listening or watching. Or
yes.
You got to have all that stuff on there. Yeah, there's a lot of writing that goes into marketing.
Now, I just wanted to touch on keywords for a second because I want to clear up a little misconception. When we say keywords, we don't just mean individual words, do we?
No. So, well, I've heard people refer to it as a key phrase, but I think you can call the whole thing keywords. Mm-hmm. Really, you just want to think what would people, if you're trying to specifically target certain keywords, and I don't spend too much time worrying about that because I feel like if you're writing good, useful content, it will be able to be found by the people who are looking for it. But if you are thinking about keywords, it's good to think from your customer's viewpoint. So what are they going to be typing in? Yes. They're not going to be typing in how to build your business. They're going to type in how to build my business, maybe. So, you know, it might be interesting to think of things that way. And another thing I try to do specifically because I'm in a more technology-based position is I try and make sure I'm not using jargon and lingo that my clients wouldn't be searching for because they haven't heard of that yet.
Yes.
So, you know, when you get so involved in your business, whether you're a jeweler or a designer or what, there are certain things that you hear all the time that make sense to you that probably your audience is not going to be searching for. So it's good to kind of listen, especially if you do craft fairs and stuff. You can hear people talking about your work and what words they use, and that can be very interesting to hear.
That's a really good point, actually.
You know, you might have like a special term for it, and they might be calling it that long dingly thing. I don't know.
You know, that's a really, really good point, actually. You know, don't expect them to know the technical terms for things. Go by more descriptive words and, you know, what they would be... If you wanted to find this particular thing, what words would a normal person, i.e. someone not familiar with the craft, type into Google to find that thing?
And that's good to think about when you're writing product descriptions for your Etsy shop. Mm. And if you're not blogging or doing marketing type stuff, you just need to think, like, what does my customer actually know about how this is made and what it is? And it's fine to educate and inform, but you also want to use the words that they relate to and they understand.
Yes, absolutely. So we've talked a lot about, you know, what you should have on your website, and, you know, I didn't really want to go into how to build a website because that could take us forever, because there's so many different ways to do it. But a question I do want to ask you is, at what point in their, you know, business perhaps or journey do you think makers should consider hiring someone else to create their websites? Like, what are the benefits of doing that when there are a lot of easy and expensive sort of DIY options out there?
Yes, right now is a wonderful time for starting a business because everybody else, all the creative types have paved the way and, you know, tried to figure out how to do it all themselves and it was terrible. And now there are so many people making their own products and starting their own businesses that there are people catering to that now. And there are a lot of super easy ways to get started without really needing to know any complicated technical stuff, which is so cool. So the people that hire us have usually, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons you would want to hire somebody to help, but usually the people that hire us have hit some point where they feel like their website, maybe they made it themselves or they had a friend help, but they feel like it's holding them back. Right. Like, they're having a really hard time selling their stuff to wholesale clients because the wholesale clients hit the website and it just looks too amateur or confusing on there, or, you know, maybe they have some special needs like customizable products and they're having a really hard time selling them. Like, for instance, it's super hard to let people customize stuff on Etsy if you want to change like the color or the name on it or the size. They don't really have the type of checkout where you can choose different options for things.
No, you just have to kind of contact the person and say, hey, can you do this?
Right. Yeah. So after a while, that starts to feel really like you don't want to be fiddling around with that anymore. So there are ways that you can, you know, hire somebody that knows what they're doing to add new features to your site or do something custom for you. And then another thing is just the look of your site. So there are tons of beautiful themes and templates, and some are free and most are very affordable. But the difference between those and if you hire somebody is that they were not built around your products, your photography. The person who designed it knows nothing about your business and it's not really tailored towards what you're trying to do.
Right.
So for instance, a lot of our clients really like the Anthropology website. No matter how much they change the Anthropology website, people always say, and I love the Anthropology website.
Is that just because they love anthropology, so they're just like projecting?
Probably, but that's the whole great thing about having a good brand identity, yeah. Right? So anthropology, they could just grab a template or a theme that already exists, but there's no way they'd ever do that. And it's because they know that they need to tell their story. Mm-hmm. And you can tell your story with all the little bits of your website and how everything looks, how it feels when people show up there. Mm. Everything is meant to work with their content and it's personal to them. So, you know, at some point, it'll just feel like the design theme you've been using is not doing the work it needs to do anymore. Yes. So that's when we usually come in. And I do like to tell people, some people think that, okay, I'm gonna go for it and I'm going to get this new custom professionally designed website and it's gonna change my whole business. But I like to make sure people know that the website itself is not gonna change your business. Mm. It's gonna be more like a tool that will help you change your business. So for example, right. A website's not, you're not gonna instantly get more traffic. So if 10 people are visiting your website a day and we redesign it for you, there's still going to be those same 10 people checking it out. So that's not just going to be a magic bullet there. And it's not going to increase your sales unless your old website was so hard to use that people literally just couldn't really do it. Mm-hmm. There could be a small amount of increase to sales, but it's not going to be this huge thing that happens just because you have a new website. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to create press for you. You know, people aren't going to reach out and say, oh, yeah, we really need to feature your business now. You need to go out and get that press. But the new website makes it so much easier to do that.
Yes.
Because you feel confident and you know you've got everything all lined up and just how it's supposed to be. People who show up at the website, they're like, wow, how did I not hear about this business before? We got to promote this on our blog.
Yes.
So all that good stuff. And just making things easier. Like if you've been struggling with your inventory or your shipping settings or dealing with custom orders on a platform that doesn't work for you, switching to something that does work can be a huge time saver.
And, you know, there comes a point for many of us when we've been in business for a long time that we're just too busy. Like we're too busy actually making orders or whatever else, you know.
Exactly.
So we just don't have time to maintain a website anymore.
You're so right.
And that's what building a business is all about.
That's the exact problem. So I feel like people want to hold on to everything because they were the one person that started the business and they know how to do everything and they don't have time to explain to anybody how to do everything. And so they're just stuck forever in this place where it never seems to get easier. And I feel like with our clients, a lot of times when things get easier for them, it's because they've been able to let go and like pass tasks on to other people. And they've, you know, hired people to help with their social media or they've hired somebody to help with the shipping. And once you start letting those things go and get some help from people, you find that you have more time to build the business and make it into something that you want to do.
Yeah.
So you could sit around learning how to design a website, but it's like, is that what you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
I think you probably want to be working on your business.
You probably want to be designing things or making things or talking to people about
products.
It. Or, yeah, exactly right. And I mean, I'm a bit of a nerd in that I've been building websites since 1996, I think, as a hobby. I got in early when it was just HTML back in the day. So it's something I enjoy doing. It's like always a hobby for me. But even now, like I'm at the point where I'm so busy with the rest of my business. It's like, you know, I don't think I can spend the time to do this anymore.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, there just comes a point. But it's so hard to let go of those things, especially when it's something you actually do enjoy.
Well, sure. And you might have a creative business and also be an amazing photographer, right? And then you can take photos of your stuff and do it as long as it's fun and it doesn't take you away from doing what you should be doing, you know. Go for it. That's so cool that you can do both things. But once it starts feeling like a pain or like you can't actually get anything done because you're always building your website or taking photos or whatever, that's the hint that you need to get somebody who wants to do that full time.
Yeah. And I think what you said about feeling stuck is a really good one too, because you could just be like, oh, it's something I'll get to it later. You know, I know it's important, but, you know, I've got this other stuff I need to do first. And then 6 months go by or a year goes by and you're like, yeah, I haven't got to that yet. So
yeah.
It could be just that.
Everybody's got that one thing on the to-do list, right?
Yeah.
That will never go away.
It's just looming over you like this big monster. So yeah, sometimes you just have to let go. I know it's hard. We know it's hard. We've all been there.
Yeah.
So to kind of wrap up, I wanted to see if you could give our listeners 5 must-dos for their website.
Okay. Yep. I've been thinking about must-dos. Some of these are going to be a little repetitive about what we've already talked about.
Okay. It's a good summary.
But number one, good summary. You got to get your photo and your story on your about page.
Mm-hmm.
and the great, clear, beautiful photos that are going to sell your work for you, which we spoke about.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and I think the two things, this is three and four here, two things that you should do before you even really look at improving your website is, first, you should think, what is unique about my business? What makes me different than anybody I could call my competitor? Mm-hmm. And why am I special enough that somebody would want to buy from me? And this is what businesses call their unique selling proposition.
Yes.
So you should know what's so special about you. And if you can't think about what distinguishes you from other businesses, it'd be good to sit down and come up with something.
Yep.
Maybe make some changes. So then once you know what your special uniqueness is, you can look at your website and say, does my website communicate that to my customer? Do they know why I'm so special? So you should check out your homepage and your about page and your product descriptions and see if that kind of shines through. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's really good to sit down with some goals in mind for your website and think, what is the point of my website? And if you're physically selling products on it, that seems like a no-brainer there. You're like, well, I want to sell stuff.
Yeah.
you might also want to think, I want people to think of me as a luxury brand. Or you might say, I want to increase my wholesale sales over my retail. Or I want to, like, let people know that I am the authority on such and such topic. So, you know, you can think about what your goal is for your website and say, are any of these pages, like, are they helping me reach my goal? So your homepage should direct people right to what you want them to do or what you want them to know. Everything should be there and make sense with your actual goals for your website. And then my last one is, instead of just looking at your website yourself and being stuck in this place where you know everything about your business and you can't tell what people need to know or want to know, get a couple of people to look at your website and just sit them down in front of the homepage and just ask them what it is that your website is about and see if they can tell you right away in just a few seconds or if they have to hunt all around and read more.
That's a very good point.
I think just, you know, getting grandma to sit down with you or somebody that, a friend of a friend, or, you know, they also have websites that will do that for you. I think one's called usertesting.com.
Okay.
I don't think it costs very much. And they will show you video recordings of people, like a screen grab of them clicking around on your site and talking out loud about what they're trying to do.
That's amazing.
Yes, it's pretty interesting. So that could be fun. So just getting some outside perspective can be super useful.
Yeah, that's a really, really good exercise to do because you're so wrapped up in your website, like, you know it back to front, you've been in there so much that you can kind of become blind to the non-obvious, well, you know, things that other people will do automatically or will be looking for that you can't, you know, that you don't even see anymore.
Yes, and I get so many emails from people every week when they've got their URL and I click over to it and sometimes I'm just like, what do they sell? You know, and that should not be what I'm thinking on the homepage.
No, that would be bad. Well, that was fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing so much of your knowledge with us today. Where can people go to find more of your fantastic teachings?
My fantastic teachings.
Yes.
So that's very exciting. My fantastic teachings are available on aolydia.com. We have a blog and we have a newsletter as well where I send out secret, fun, exciting tips that you don't get on the blog. And I've been having a good time on Instagram lately, and we're Aolydia on Instagram too, and that is pretty fun.
And how do we spell that?
Aolidia.
Excellent. I will link to things in the show notes as well, so you can all go find Ariane very easily. Thank you so much for chatting with me today. It has been awesome.
Thank you, Jess. I think this might be top-notch, number one most fun interview.
Yay! Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed that, guys. I had so much fun talking to Ariane. She just is so knowledgeable about all things web design, and she gave you lots of awesome advice in this episode. So again, if you want to check out the show notes, head on over to createandthrive.com and look for episode 24 of the podcast. And just a quick reminder, remember, if you want to join us for Setup Shop, head on over and register now. This is the last time I'm running it in 2015. I won't be running it again until 2016. So if you want to get your shop ready to go for the holiday period that's coming up, now's the time to do it. And I hope I'll see you there. If not, I hope I'll see you around the interwebs and the Create and Thrive community. Make sure to join us over on the Facebook page, facebook.com/createandthrive. That's A-N-D, Create and Thrive. And I hope you're following me over on Instagram too, instagram.com/createandthrive. I love to feature people from the community on my Instagram feed, so make sure to tag photos on your feed with the hashtag Create and Thrive so I can check out your work. And yeah, come on over, and I like to put up a lot of kind of inspiring and interesting stuff over on the Instagram feed and on the Facebook page that'll help you grow your business and stay motivated. Thanks so much for listening, Thrivers. I'm Jess Van Den. This has been the Create and Thrive podcast, and I'll chat to you again next week.